What's happening, everybody, and welcome back to Streamcast, the show on the internet. We watch the latest and greatest stuff on streaming services with you guys.
That's right.
I'm one of your hosts, Eddie, along with my bro, the inverted gamer himself, Sheps. How are you doing, Jedi Master Sheps? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you, Padawan Ed.
Garrett!
Kind of good and kind of bad, actually. I'm really happy with some of the stuff we got from this episode.
Uh-huh.
Like, really happy.
Mm-hmm,
and then I'm really unhappy with some of it.
Reva. Yeah, we know. Don't worry about it. Reva and the fact that she's a
her
woman.
Her writing's fine. It's her gender. It's her as a human being I can't stand.
That's it.
Not the character, not the writing.
That's it.
Can we just take a minute and say anybody sending actors death threats?
How stupid do you have to
isn't,
be?
Is an idiot.
They're not even people. They're like, you're on another level of stupidity.
Right, like,
I can't even comprehend you being a normal
human. The director, I would understand, right? Because they instructed things this way. The writers, because they made things this way. Like, yeah. When I was saying I don't like Reva, I wasn't saying the actress, because they even said she's great in this scene.
Yeah.
It's a terribly written character. And by extension, I feel really bad for the actress, who's obviously got some chops.
Yeah.
Because she's been given this crap to deal with, and it's crap. Like, you think it's not her that made that parkour stuff.
Yeah, she didn't cite right in. Can we add a parkour scene in here?
Right.
Sure, we'll just shoot that for
you. I think my character would parkour all of this.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't do that. Right, and it was awful.
Yeah.
It was a good visualization of everything that's wrong with her writing, trying desperately hard to make her cool, when actually she's really cool if you leave her alone.
You know what? What made Darth Vader cool? Parkour. He did a bunch of parkour and everyone was like, there we go.
Well, also, people are stupid. They're like going after her because she's black or something. But James Earl Jones is Vader.
James Earl Jones, what's his name? Danny Glover played the younger version of older Calrissian. What's his name? What's the actor's
Lando.
Name? Lando Calrissian. Boss. I forgot what the actor's name is. But Lando, that's another black character.
We have Mace Windu.
People with many, many different cultures and backgrounds and races.
Boba,
no
who
one
gets
has ever
all of like 13 seconds of screen time,
right? So many
is
different cultures.
Yeah.
And today's the day that you're like, nah, can't
we don't like this multicultural thing.
So dumb. Those people are just stupid. I wouldn't have given them any time personally. I would have just been like, you know, you're an idiot.
They're stupid.
But Star Wars Twitter account decided to make a big stink of it, which is also dumb.
Well, that's also dumb, innit?
Because those are the guys that took Finn on the poster of Force Awakens and made him really tiny and put him to the back and sold it in China.
To be very clear,
like,
if you're not aware, Asia's relatively racist, especially compared to the West.
Incredibly.
And they, black people don't do well in Asia.
Yeah.
So they made him smaller so that the poster and the material would do better.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
And it's just them.
Shut up, Disney.
We stand.
We resist. Shut up,
like,
you tools.
Look, I, as a person, we're going to stand up against racism, no problem. But you just, corporation, shut up.
Was it them that make the Transformers? Is Disney make Transformers? I forget who makes Transformers. But that's another, my point is that these giant businesses cater things just for certain audiences. Transformers, those stupid transformations look that way because they're really popular in Asia, China specifically.
They like it a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Get fricked, Disney.
Yes. And all the people that are racist, all you guys.
Obviously, yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, episode 3. How did you like it overall?
Ooh.
Ooh.
We only have 6 episodes, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's only 6 in total.
So, I'm a little concerned that our pacing's a bit off.
Yeah.
It was a very big change of pace. I didn't necessarily not like it, but I'm concerned that we're halfway through the show.
Mm.
And I don't really know where we're going. You know?
But it seems like they're only going to be able to wrap up the bringing Leia back to Alderaan.
It definitely feels that way, yeah. That seems to be the thing. Which is fine, because I was saying I don't even think we should see much more of Luke. Any more of Luke. That was cool, because Luke gets 3-4 many movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot dedicated to Luke. Leia deserves it. It's fine. Anybody saying that, oh, where does Leia know this stuff? You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Because at like 19, she sent interstellar... just distances to do, you know, represent a planet. You think she's not going to be an exceptional 10-year-old? By the way, she's a Skywalker in Force Sensitive. Are you stupid?
Right. She's not just given the name. It's not like Rey. This is a real Skywalker.
She's an actual Skywalker. She's incredibly Force Sensitive. She's incredibly focused towards people. You're stupid if you don't get it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just don't like it, which is fine, but otherwise you're stupid. So, you know, I'm actually okay with it. I don't think Luke should get any more time. We've had plenty of Luke.
But the thing we actually want to see is obviously the dynamic between ex-Anakin Vader and Obi-Wan. And we feel like we got a little bit in this episode, which was awesome. But we want to go deep.
I need to go many ways with this. I'm a little bit... In one way, I'm really happy. Mm. Like, the first time when Obi-Wan, when they're in the middle of nowhere and he thinks he sees Anakin. Like, that's perfect, because that's what Anakin would look like. That's what he thinks Anakin looks like. That's what he thinks of when he thinks Anakin.
Exactly.
Obviously, forgetting they cut him in half.
Cut him in half, burn him to a crisp.
Yeah, forgetting that he was left to barbecue in lava. But, like, that's who he thinks of as Anakin, right? So that's the vision they see. And I love that. And also, it's cool to see Hayden. Get to, like, see Hayden.
Right? I was like, is that really him? Is that really... But they got him for the show, so why wouldn't they put him there?
Right.
It's him, oh my God.
And then I loved Vader in the town.
Yeah.
I really liked to see him flushing Obi-Wan out that way and how just hardcore and cruel and brutal he could be. Because also that helps us for the movies, because that's the guy that Luke brings back to the light. It's important to know how far he is to really understand how powerful the thing that Luke achieves is.
And also beginning of episode four, he's just killing people out of whim.
Yeah.
Just like one guy was about to choke that guy in the thing. Cause he says, he's
saying about silly religion
him.
Or something.
Exactly.
Like, oh, what? You know, the emperor's anyway, but like we knew this as kids. Like, we filled in that blank, but it's cool to get to see it. We got that Vader was this guy, but we're actually getting to see it.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate about the, you know, they made a whole movie. It's only like 5 minutes long. They called it Rogue One. I don't understand why, but it basically is when Vader gets onto that ship just before Leia leaves.
Yeah.
And he like slaughters his way through all of her guards. That was very cool. And it helps us to see who this guy is. And now we're getting to see the real dark side.
Yeah.
Evil people are expendable for the cause kind of thing. I hated his conflict with Obi-Wan. Hated it.
Yeah.
Once they actually like stop, I like bits of it. Like, I like that he took his time and set that shit on fire. But I really kind of felt like this guy was a little bit gimped. Like, Darth Vader's the sort of guy that can pull a Star Destroyer out of the sky. I know that's Star Killer, but he's that power level. You know, he's that ability.
So time-wise, 10 years.
He's peak Sith Vader here.
Is this peak?
Ish.
I don't know my timelines as much in between, especially because I don't follow like the animated shows or books or anything like that, comics. But
he's right around the height. He's not, you know.
What I had read at one point, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, apparently that obviously, because he's had all of his limbs severed, and they're obviously not as good as his original limbs, he had to redo his fight style.
Yeah, that's true.
And
we see that.
You see that in this very much like one-handed
brutal
stuff.
One of the things I asked
for,
didn't I say? I want to see that one-handed robo strength. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's still in the process of learning it, but I guess...
It's been 10 years.
Yeah,
and he's also one of the most powerful Jedi, or let's say Force users, one of the most accomplished, like also with Palpatine. It just feels like he's underpowered here.
Yeah.
Also, because we got very similar to that end of Rogue One. You know, like, in Rogue One, he's crushing people against ceilings and stuff. He just snaps some dude's neck. He can do that. And two things. One, it feels like Vader wasn't strong enough. It wasn't being so oppressively powerful. And maybe that doesn't go quite, because Obi-Wan's one of the most powerful as well. I understand that. But also, I need Kenobi to, like, sack up. I need him to go and find his balls.
Maybe Vader was doing what Obi-Wan was doing in this first encounter together, is that they're both just sort of in shock of each other.
That's how I headcanoned it, he's like...
They're just like, I'm really angry at you, we're both, and I'm shocked to see you, and I have to kill you because you're doing all of this. But man, you're actually with it. We're right next to each other. We're in front of each other.
He's been thinking about this moment. He's been playing the conversations back in his head for 10 years, and now he's getting there. He stumbled
right
at the first word. He stuttered a bit and going, frick.
Maybe that's a good word. That's a good word.
That's how I'm headcanoning it. I need to see more power.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking. Yeah, Vader's OP. We get it. He's a Skywalker. Right, fine. But it needs to be there. Like, this is a guy that could pull a Star Destroyer out of the sky, right? He's Anakin Skywalker. He could do a lot of things. And the fact that he's, like... It also looked like the budget went down for, like, when he's dragging Obi-Wan across the sand a bit. It just felt very clunky. I'm excited to see, like you said, them diving a bit more deep into the relationship. What this needs to be is a scab that is picked at, and all that is underneath is pain.
Yeah.
On both sides. And... I want to hear Anakin tell his side and Obi-Wan to realize he was totally wrong and totally misunderstood Anakin and see where he's coming from. And then Obi-Wan tells his side and Anakin completely loses steam. I mean, Vader, sorry. I keep thinking of him as Anakin here, but...
I wonder how they're going to do the...
And is Anakin still in there, right?
Yeah. I wonder. That's the thing. That's what we want to see. We were saying about, like, in a Vader movie in between. Oh, it would be... We would love that moment of him going to, like, the memorial or the grave of Padme and seeing Anakin's response to that rather than Darth Vader just seeing the pain come through. I would be interested to see how they end this because both of them have to survive.
Yes, yeah, of course. There is also...
How are you going to end that? It's kind of weird.
There's also another question, which is that Anakin, Vader, has functionally unlimited resources... His greatest, most powerful enemy is out there, and now he knows for sure how's Obi-Wan going to get away in such a way that he is never found again for another, like, 8 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll have to be a fake a death kind of thing.
Well, last time they did it in the most brutal way. They basically completely destroyed Anakin to the point that he was a nugget.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were like, cool, now I'm going to let you die and I'm not going to watch you die, but I'm going
to
assume you died.
I think Obi-Wan needs to fall down into a bottomless pit.
You know? He needs to go Darth Maul.
Right. This is how we know the Grand Inquisitor actually is dead, because he didn't fall into a bottomless pit.
He didn't fall down a pit.
Palpatine, Darth Maul, it's canon.
Exactly.
Boba.
Yes.
So.
I actually do think the Grand Inquisitor is going to come back. I don't think he's dead.
I actually kind of get that vibe as well.
Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in for another episode of Streamcast. Thank you guys over on patreon.com/conversations for supporting us at the Super Bro tier, one of our highest tiers up there. These great people who support us are Diogo Dildo, Isaac the Ultimate Comsock, Sabim from Smorville, the Star Wars Encyclopedia, Adam Sundling, doing your job, mate. You're doing a great job. Kesper, the friendly patron, Jeremy Renner, that's right, an official Avenger, Super Suspend Fryer, the filthy FIFA fanatic, Joe McCormack, Clark, the 53rd, My Juicy Left Nut, the super sexy producer, Sean, the fakest Bat fan,
the Batfish.
Batfish, that's right. Mikey T, the gamer giant, and Kevin, the number one simp. I hit my mic, didn't I? That's going to sound, yeah, that's going to make a noise right there. God damn it! Of the midichlorians, thank you so much very much for keeping the lights on.
I hate it. It hasn't been mentioned in any other things. It's retconned. It's gone away.
Listen, Kevin's the number one simp of midichlorians. It's okay. It's not my fault. Okay, guys.
We open.
Wait, let me get my notes on the side. There we go. We open.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi meditating.
Meditating in the ship. He's trying to reach out to Qui-Gon. It's like, Master Qui-Gon.
We're definitely seeing Liam Neeson.
We have to, right? He's hearing lines from his past, like back and forth coming in and out and all this. Very PTSD, very bad like that. And then during his meditation, we also cut to Vader suiting up.
Oh, so good.
It looks fucking brutal. The guy,
so good.
You see the robot arms coming on, robot legs. You see
stuff
plugging into him. His spine and stuff like that. It's like, man.
It's sick.
They slowly put on the suit, put on the helmet. And just as he puts on the helmet, it's almost as if, and I don't know if this is what they were implying or was just supposed to get it. This is how I saw it. It seemed like Obi-Wan had seen that. Like he was watching that happen.
I also felt that happen, yeah.
And then when he's finally suited up, he's like, he's coming, master.
I got the feeling, like you're saying there, that now that he knows Anakin's alive, he can sense that that's there.
He reached out with his feelings. And
right.
He saw. I feel it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you do? What does it feel like?
God damn it. God damn it, no.
Anyway, we then cut to Mustafar, which is the planet, right? That's the way planet he's on. Is that where his base is? I think that's where.
Yeah, Mustafar.
Yeah. And Vader takes a call, you know, a little Zoom call, from Reva. And she gives Vader the information that, like, he's on a mining planet, yeah, he's over
the,
here.
Kenobi killed the Grand Inquisitor, and Vader's like, lol, no one cares.
Well, the thing is that he says, lol, no one cares, but I got
it. That's actually what Vader says. He's like, lol, no one cares.
I got the impression that nothing matters. People don't matter. Oh, yeah. To Vader,
not
right?
at all.
People don't matter. But he also knows, I think he knows, it makes it a little bit more obvious than the next
Come
thing he
on,
says.
Man.
He knows you killed the Inquisitor.
Of course he knows.
Because he says
he's
as well.
Anakin freaking Skywalker, right? In peak Sith mode. Of course he knows. The way Sith graduate is murdering their way to the top.
He lets her like believe that like she got to pull the wall over his eyes, like, fooled Vader. What are you saying? And then he goes, like, Kenobi will pay for what he did to the Grand Inquisitor. It's like, I've been watching you, Third Sister. I know what you want. At that point, I'm like, oh shit! You thought you got him, innit?
You think you're gonna hide this from? Like, he knows he's got right? to know what the others think of you. He might be a brutal manager, but he knows who his team are.
Yeah, and like, also he can probably feel what you're thinking through the Zoom call, mate.
Easily, the Zoom call.
Anyway, she's like, doesn't really say anything. She goes, but like, I know what you want. Get me Kenobi and I'll give you the position of the Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Again, well, because like, people don't matter.
And also, results are more important. Getting Kenobi is far more important than the rest of these. Way more important.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, this is General Kenobi. If there's anyone that has any chance of bringing down the Empire or Vader or Palpatine, yeah, it's this guy, right? Yeah.
And he says as well, after he says, get the position of the Grand Inquisitor is yours, but he's like, fail me. And you will not live to regret it. I'm like, oh boy, this is like when he would just choke someone out for doing it. Oh,
right.
Anyway,
Kenobi and Leia sort of they just touch down on this planet. There's a bit of conversation in the ship, but
yeah,
we land in the middle of nowhere.
Oh wait, hold on. So she's, can I actually go through the things that she said?
Yeah.
Says it's like, are we there yet? And there's like, no, the, yeah, no. It's like, can we, why can't you make the ship go faster? Can't you do like a force thing to make the ship go faster? That's not how the
that's
force
right.
works.
This is a good little scene.
And he does say a nice little thing. He says, what does the force feel like? And it's like, have you ever gone into like a dark room and then like you turn on the lights? It's like, how do you feel? It's like, I feel safe. Like, that's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a nice description.
Yeah,
of
fair enough. Yeah.
That's a nice description right there. Anyway, he fixes the little Lola droid, which again, go and buy the toys. They want you to go and buy the
right.
toys.
Nothing's okay. getting rid of this bot.
This bot will be there to the end, I tell you. And it'll be on her shoulder the moment that everything's okay. Oh, quick, buy me. That's what it's going to be. And then they land on this weird planet that doesn't get named straight away.
Also, it's a terrible place to be sending your refugees to an Empire stronghold.
Empire-infested planet, and seems to be only infested by them. Like, there's like or two other locals.
Then there's two kinds of people here. Empire slaves.
Yeah.
Or Empire simps.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you meet an alien that looks like a rat and has face tentacles, I'm going to say a bit of racism here is okay. You can't trust these rat motherfuckers, okay?
These rat motherfuckers! Oh, so they get on and they start talking. They say it's a Mapuzo, the planet.
Something
is called.
Like that. It's a mining planet, right?
Yeah. And they're like heading down the road. They're like, we need to head to these coordinates that they got from the Hajar guy. And we're going to meet there. And hopefully there's something for us there that can help us out. While he's going, he has that PTSD moment.
Yeah. So he's looking out like, sort of around the fields.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's here before or after, but basically he tells Leia, she's like, why is there nothing here? And she says, well, there used to be farms and families and stuff. And then as he's looking, I think it's just after he says families, is he looks out over the hills because he's looking for their contact. And he sees this robed figure, and it turns and it's Hayden, and I had goosebumps, man. It's not Vader.
Yeah.
It's Hayden in the Jedi robes, because that's how he thinks of Anakin.
Yeah.
His brother, right? And he's, what's weird as well, and this is why I felt what I felt before about, you know, when he says Anakin, I was like, oh, the guilt I left Anakin, yeah, if I'd have taken him with me, that kind of thing. Because it doesn't look like Anakin's angry. It looks like he's accusing him. He's like, I don't know, man. I didn't feel like he was like, oh, I'm going to get you, Obi-Wan. Do you know what I mean? It was an impressive force. It was like a...
it was just sort of like judgmental.
Yeah. Like, it's a salt in the wound presence, not an ominous presence.
Very hardcore shot. It was sick. Very hardcore.
It was sick.
We then cut to back to Reva. She's landing on an Imperial base. The base of the Inquisitors, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, which is like in the middle of the ocean for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason. Don't know why that is. Really rough. Anyway. she walks into the gaff, and the fifth brother is there, but lays down the law immediately on her. Uses the force and is like trying to pushes her down, like almost on the table. And I'm like, oh, so she's not like, she just walks the big walk. She doesn't actually like, she's not more powerful than anyone here.
I mean, we actually don't know.
It's true. She hasn't flexed. I get the
thing is, we get the impression that she's not so strong, but maybe there's like good political reasons that she's not doing it. Meaning, like, she can't, she specifically murders the Grand Inquisitor away from prying eyes with General Kenobi, the only person to step to Vader ever. Yeah. As the scapegoat, right? Here, in front of everybody, in front of these witnesses, in the base, maybe she can't step to these guys, even if she's more powerful than them, because maybe you don't want to make that kind of those kind of enemies.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, she could be quite powerful. We don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, she goes, oh, yeah, we're going to go after, we're going to send out some probes. We're going to send out some probes for this mind implant to find Kenobi. And it's like, no, no, you don't. You're not the leader here. That chair is mine. I'm the next in line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'll go talk to Lord Vader and ask if he's like, I've already spoken to Lord Vader.
Yeah, that's where she's like, she claps back. She's like, I actually just spoke to Vader.
Me and him, we're like this.
And he wants us to do this. So unless you want to
send the probes now.
Yeah. Send the probes, which is kind of cool. And then they have a kind of a quiet moment by the chair, right? Is this now? Where he says, like, you know, you might have his favor for now, but we both know he'll be at his side at the end or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things of like, okay, you got the upper hand in this one, but it's like this constant like push pull, who's going to get it? And then just like the Grand Inquisitor in the previous episode, like, okay, maybe she'll get somewhere, but the guy's going to try and come in and steal the limelight, the credit.
The credit.
That's the word. I know words. I'm so good at words.
Those words. And then they send out the probes and it shoots off into the sky. Yeah, we cut back to Obi-Wan and Leia, and they're at the coordinates now.
But the contact's not here.
Nothing.
Should never have trusted that guy. And Leia's like, or maybe their contact's just late. And he's like, Leia, everybody isn't just good.
Right.
How far we have fallen, Obi-Wan.
Exactly. Leia sees some sort of transport going by, immediately flags it down. It's like, hey, these people must be good. They look friendly enough.
Yeah, hey,
it's
I'm going to do some space hitchhiking after just being kidnapped.
Right? So weird. And they hitch a ride with this guy.
Also, the whole way up to this, Obi-Wan's like, you don't speak. Can I not speak or do I not want to speak? No, you just don't speak.
Just don't speak.
This is the thing. I'm your father. You're my daughter. You don't speak. We're farmers from Tull or whatever.
Yeah.
Basic story, let me handle the talking. Immediately flags this guy down, hi ministers, and just goes into this spiel.
I'm so and so, this is so and so, we're here to do this with farmers.
I will say, I'm certain there's going to be complaints because Leia does a lot of the talking here in these sort of scenes, and I'm sure there's going to be complaints about her like talking too much and messing stuff up, right? And why is Leia taking charge and ordering Obi-Wan around? Let's remember, Obi-Wan Kenobi, war hero, war veteran, suffering from multiple kinds of PTSD.
Yeah.
Currently not in his best frame of mind because he's out of practice and now suffering from this knowledge of Anakin.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been around people really for 10 years. Versus schooled since she was born in the arts of politics, speech, you know, talking to people, reading people, and incredibly force sensitive when it regards emotion, Leia Organa.
Yeah, we know what's going to happen, right?
Also, we know they're going to get out of it. But, like, there isn't any problem with her coming up with these things and like sort of taking the lead here, because she's going to be much more gregarious and outgoing than Kenobi is, and him not wanting to answer things to that level of awkwardness is kind of suspicious.
Yeah,
and having a chatty 10-year-old is not particularly suspicious. There's no problems here. Grow up. You just don't like her because she's female.
That's it. Fucking hell, what's wrong with you people? God.
Whereas I don't like Reva because of the color of
her lightsaber.
Exactly.
She's a Sith, that's why.
Mother freaking Sith.
Get the Sith out of my plane. So yeah, they hitch a ride with this rat-faced guy who's an Empire sympathizer.
Yeah, he's got like an Empire. This guy's like a mega fan. He's got a flag on the back. He immediately said, "Hey, where are you guys going to?" "Oh, great. Well, I love the Empire." What?
This is the equivalent of those guys that have like Confederate flags on their cars and shit.
Or like Assassin's Creed fans. They're basically all the same.
Basically the same thing. That's what they are. rat-faced
motherfucker.
They jump on, they sit in the back, and he starts to like ask some questions, you know, like, "What are you guys doing around here?" Stuff like that. "Oh, we're just farmers. We come to see around here." And shortly afterwards, they pick up some hitchhikers.
Yeah, some hitchhiking stormtroopers. Why don't these guys have their own like speeders or something? What's
no
going on with that?
Fucking clue. They get on and they barely go 10 feet. Yeah. And this whole ride is over in a minute. All right. But they get on and then they
actually really liked the scene a lot.
It was quite good. It was quite good. They and I love the, again, I have to say, I do love the suit design and how everything's all practical. We've seen
like
practical.
How dirty these suits
I was
are.
Gonna say, yeah. We've seen practical stormtroopers, but they've always been pristine white clean.
Yeah. But these guys ones, are in the middle of stuff.
All very dirty, right. Different dirt.
This could
as
be
well.
At the end of a 12-hour shift.
Good stuff.
Or rotation, or however they work. And like also, if their armor's gonna get that dirty, are they gonna clean it?
Yeah.
Probably, maybe not.
It was great. Really good looking stuff.
It looked good, I thought, yeah.
Basically,
they start asking some questions.
Yes.
And Leia's speaking, and then Kenobi says, like, she's...
Can I lay up one before? Because there's something... So they go, "Oh, we're out here because apparently this is where he met my mother, and that's why we went to go see that." And they're like, "Oh, yeah." And they already established her name is Loa, and his name
something
is
like
Oa,
that.
Or something like that.
And he also says... adding on to that, the mother's not with us.
Yeah, the mother's not with us.
He says it's been a really hard time.
Yes.
Times have been tough, yeah.
And then these guys are asking, "Well, have you seen a Jedi around here?"
I wouldn't know what one looks like.
Exactly. And it's like, maybe he's, and Leia's like, "Maybe he's not even on this planet." And then Obi-Wan turns around.
He's like, "They know what they're doing.
Leia, they know what they're doing." And it's like, "Wait, you called her Leia? Why did you call her Leia?
I thought you said her name was
Loa." It's like, quick thinking.
I like this stuff.
That was her mother's name.
I get confused sometimes.
Sometimes I get confused. And this is really cool. Looks at her. It says that sometimes when I look at her, I just see her mother's face.
I love this so much. All of this. If you don't like this, like Leia allowing us to like sort of grieve for the loss of Padme and like big up Padme and appreciate what Leia will grow into, I think you're missing a lot of the soul of Star Wars.
Yes.
This was an utterly beautiful scene, as well as establishing that yes, General Kenobi is still in there, the fast, quick thinking, agile mind.
Yeah.
Who then says, "I get confused sometimes. You know, sometimes when I look, I see her mother. They're just so similar. Like I said, like I get confused. It's been a difficult time." Basically saying, "I'm older than I look, and I've got Alzheimer's.
Yeah,
it's been tough." And they're like, "Oh, okay, fair enough."
They're like, "Okay, that's cool. No problem, no problem."
It was a really sweet scene. I really like that scene a lot.
And they quickly get off. Like I said, a minute journey.
Yeah, it's not a lot, is it?
A minute ago, there was more. They were saying, "It's like, oh, it's a long story while we're here. Well, this is a long ride. It's
right,
like 60 seconds. All right, no problem."
Yeah, it's a long ride, but can we get your story in TikTok form?
Please, please, you know. Anyway, they get off, and then they continue. And Leia, I think, sensed, using her great powers that she doesn't know yet. Yeah, "You knew my mother."
Yeah. Oh, she 100% read his feelings. Yeah.
Yes. And then takes a shot and goes, "Are you my father?"
That was really cute.
It was, wasn't it? Because she just
and it would
desperately
make sense
was...
why this guy's come after her,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, "I wish that was so. But it's not. I'm not your
father." By the way, he says that for a bunch of reasons. I felt like that "I wish I could say I was so loaded, because it would mean like everything that happened with Anakin wasn't real.
Yeah.
And that this great kid would be who he's obviously formed a bond with,
yeah,
would be his, and that would mean that none of the shit that happened in the Clone War at the end of the Clone Wars and stuff. Well, excuse me, you know what I mean.
Revenge of the Sith.
Thank you, Revenge of the Sith. That didn't have to happen, and then, and also she's great.
Obi-Wan should have slid into the DMs of Padme. It would have been even worse when it comes to... Actually, no, it would have been a better age, right? Because Anakin was the one that was young. She was the cradle stature. That's what she
was. That's right.
Yeah, nonsense. It's okay.
Padme seeing 10-year-old slave boy is like, I want some of that.
Right.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
The lip bite. It's just a 10-year-old slave boy.
Qui-Gon, see if we can gamble to own him. Right? Like, it's a little bit predatory when you think about it that way.
Checkpoint. Yes, they reach a checkpoint. And
Rat-faced Frick gets out.
That guy.
He's like, don't worry here, guys. I know they know me. I know. Yeah. Gets out. And he's like, oh, who are these guys? He's like, oh, yeah, a couple of strays I thought you might be interested in. Rat fuck.
Rat fucking face fuck.
All of them.
Yeah.
We need to make the next top one genocide.
Exactly. The next top one. It can only get to two.
Greatest hits of all time.
Favorite genocide ever. So they go, oh, everyone get out of the truck. Okay, they get out. And
I was hoping for the lightsaber here.
That's what I was hoping for. But when I saw he popped open his thing, I was like, wait, that's not the lightsaber. That's his gun.
See, this is the thing. I said in the last episode, he shouldn't have taken the lightsaber. He should have brought a blaster so we would still feel how far away he is from the Kenobi that we know. Or that we should have only seen the blaster when he goes onto the ship leaving Tatooine, right? And then at the end with Anakin, we can find that he did bring his lightsaber. Mm. That would have been a better reveal, I thought. Because why would you go to a blaster here? Also, why is he suddenly now John Wick? Where on the roof, there are two guys pinning him down while Leia's like jumping off roofs and falling off cables and stuff. And he can't do anything. He shoots like a stormtrooper. And here, it's like these guys killed his dog.
Yeah.
He even freaking quick draws one at the end.
I literally wrote, it was like... The probe that got sent out comes down, identifies him when he lifts up his head. He shoots the probe and then he nails everyone in like one shot.
Yeah.
And then at one point, like you said, he tries to like, I'm putting the gun down.
Right.
From the hip, like done like that.
Also, he has the Force, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I get because it doesn't make sense for the movie, but if I was a Jedi surrounded, guess what? Everybody would be popping aneurysms.
Yeah.
I'd be like bursting blood vessels and brains and shit. Yeah. Or snapping necks or something. Like, why wouldn't you?
Or like block the trigger of any gun.
Yeah. Just force it forward. It's like,
one sec.
Everyone's eyes, he's like, come on. Like, bang. You know?
Turns out it's overheated and blown up in my hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, anyway. One of the guards falls off and gets skewered by the laser beams that aren't lightsabers, but act like lightsabers, though they're not.
That's a funny thing. They make it seem like as well that like only Jedi can have lightsabers, because only a Jedi can even make a lightsaber, or even use a lightsaber. But then they have all this lightsaber tech around everything, and it's like...
Right.
I feel like someone else could have used
that. That's also totally not how lightsabers work. They are just weapons. They're the traditional weapons of the old guard, the Jedi, because it's part of like their religious... You know how Sikhs have swords?
Yeah.
It's like that, but they're laser swords.
Yeah.
And the Jedi way of doing it, the way it makes it you like a real Jedi, is you
make your Kyber
crystal. Build it... Well, you find your Kyber crystal.
Right.
But you make the lightsaber with the Force. So you don't actually physically touch it until it's a lightsaber, which is cool.
That's cool.
That doesn't mean you can't make one by hand.
Right. And like no one would do that, right? Like,
well, also one of the things that's weird from a movie perspective is that Finn's the only non-Force user to use a lightsaber that we've ever seen. You would think, however, with the number of Jedi that do get killed, someone would freaking pick that up. That's sick shank.
Right. No one's even had fun with it.
Right.
It's not like Judge Dredd's gun where like you touch it and your hand blows up.
You find me space hillbillies and I will find you the people that will pick up that lightsaber and go, Brad or Cletus or whatever, space Cletus, shoot me with that stormtrooper blaster, I'll deflect it
and get killed.
I'm gonna make up the sport. It's gonna be
laser ball.
Yeah, laser ball. It's baseball, but you shoot at me with a gun. You know, like any, find me a hillbilly.
Yeah.
They 100. So I don't understand what's not so much thing. Right. Also, like, the lightsaber is the weapon of Jedi because it, of basically religious and tradition reasons. It doesn't make them actually like the best weapons.
Yeah.
They're limited in a lot of ways, even compared to like, frickin' Palpatine just goes to the Force. That he defaults to Force fire, not lightsabers.
It's not a very good ranged weapon.
Right. There's loads of like better weapons.
This is it. But somehow, no one ever makes one. No one ever finds one.
Or jacks one. Anything. Like, are you kidding me?
Anyway, they get through the checkpoint. And there's a bunch of stormtroopers that appear there as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Immediately.
Immediately. With an Imperial officer as well. They're all like, hands up. All right, we're going to take you in. But then the Imperial officer just guns all down all the stormtroopers.
It's a good thing that, I mean, it's lucky that they she was there to save Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Exactly.
Who, by the way, a second ago, just John Wicked 10 times this number of guys, and who could mush these guys in their suits with the Force, but never mind.
Never mind, never mind. Says, follow me, I'll get you out of here, I'll get you to a safe house. They go around a corner, they go into town, they go through a door, and they do get to a safe house that's hidden behind the wall of a loader's shop or something like that.
By the way,
the loader robot was kind of cool.
That loader robot was kind of cool.
It's like Iron Giant type thing.
It was very cool, yeah. Also, how it like hit the hammer and stuff. Yeah. Especially because we're told it's just a loader. It doesn't understand. A bunch of times we're told like they're too stupid. They don't have language. Now, Leia says something about like, oh, the officers, there's no point speaking to him. He can't communicate. And she says, well, what if he has something to say? The reason I think they're pushing so hard for Leia being not caring if you're biological or not is because in A New Hope, she has the undying loyalty of R2-D2.
Yeah.
The space droid that has been with Anakin Skywalker, Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, like all these incredible people. And this thing goes on a mission for her. Without question.
Yeah.
And R2 doesn't know that she's Leia Skywalker. She doesn't know she's a Skywalker, right? So what kind of person inspires that kind of loyalty from that kind of bot?
Yeah.
Somebody that treats R2 like he's the hero that he is.
I think that's definitely what they're trying to go with this.
I think that is a somewhat subtle nod to why R2, and forget C-3PO, he'll do whatever he's told, he's a little simp cuck. But R2's a Sigma male Chad.
Exactly.
So
blast with oil, set on fire.
Right, absolutely. So I do really think that's a good point to be made.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. So they're in this safe house, and they see that the walls have been etched with like other people who have been there.
Yeah, so the safe house is behind like
a wall
or like a shelves or something. Yeah. Which when Reva finds it, she notices it, but I didn't see what she
that
noticed.
That was so dumb. I've got that in my notes. So how did she?
I paused it as well. I'm like, I don't see no gaps. I don't see, it's not like these shelves aren't pushed all the way back. She just
picked
clocks
one
it.
Spot. First spot she picked.
Now, I think as well, again, this is bad writing and Reva's getting done dirty. What she should have done is shut her eyes and walked across the walls like this and then stopped.
Notice the hollow.
At least we now know that. Cool.
Use the Force.
Right.
Solve that problem. Okay.
Also, like, she uses the Force to pull the thing away and then opens the door. No, pull the thing away and then move with the Force and see if anything goes.
That would have been like a power thing as well, like crumple it like a beer can.
That would have been cool, innit?
Cool.
Anyway, Reva's getting done dirty.
Getting done proper dirty. So they get in there. There's other scribbles on the wall, apparently from other Jedi and stuff like that. One of the Jedi apparently wrote, close your eyes and you will see.
Yeah, like, he's named. What? And I feel like, are we supposed to know this name? I don't as like a movie live action simp.
I thought maybe it was the guy that got killed in the town. And I was like,
yeah, but
so why
Ben
is he there?
Ben, Obi-Wan doesn't know his name.
Yeah,
or they were never introduced to each other.
He didn't make a...
So, and also, he doesn't give a shit. I mean, it's sad that a Jedi died and he could have helped, but he didn't, like, get invested in this dude.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't recognize the name either. Maybe someone knows the name.
Yeah, there's probably some Star Wars encyclopedia that's going to tell, I can't believe you guys don't know Glurb Shitto. Like, fuck
loser.
Off.
Right. Anyway, they go in there, and after a while, she says, okay, we've got to leave. We've got to move up our time scale, and opens up a door revealing a path.
Yeah, it's like a tunnel, right?
It seems like a tunnel in a cave, but I was like, was this...
I thought we were behind the town.
I was like, all behind this one shop in the middle of town.
Like, this is the weird thing. Maybe I missed it, but like, it seemed like this town was just on a hill, right? Yeah. It wasn't like this thing was backed up to a mountain that then like they dug a hole through. So I don't know where this came from.
Anyway, they go, okay, we got to go. Just as they're about to leave, Obi-Wan immediately senses something.
He just stops dead.
Weak. He's like...
Yeah. It's like he's going to pass out.
Right.
I thought this was brilliant, by the way.
It was like the reverse of what he was trying to explain to Leia about the Force. It was like the lights went out and fear set in.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said it. That's exactly how I took it. The exact opposite. He goes all the way
up to the door, looks outside. He sees the Inquisitors over there. Yeah. And then who shows up?
Oh, I'm so glad we got to see him.
Vader himself.
I tweeted out yesterday. I'm like, if I'm staying off Twitter until I watch the episode because I don't want to get spoiled. If we don't see Hayden, we riot.
We riot, sir. And there he is. Vader's there. Vader begins to make his way through the town, grabbing random people at will.
He starts making his way through. He's sort of like, it feels like he's trying to sense where Kenobi is.
Yeah.
Knows that he's being watched. And then like just puts his hand out and one guy starts to like slowly get pulled out of the...
Out of a window, right?
Yeah.
It's quite cool because I was thinking as well, like, I like to think of the practical side, how they do that. I'm like, if that was a wire up top, then how do they get through
the
window?
Two dudes in blue suits.
And I'm like, just carrying him like that. And I'm like, yeah, that was really cool. Pull him out the window, choking him. Not even asking questions. No. He's not there to ask questions.
The question is not where. The question is, when will Obi-Wan come out to save these guys?
Exactly.
Right? Or it's kind of the extension of that the Jedi hunt themselves. Right? That's really what it is.
They can't help it.
Right.
Start strangling. Son tries to come out as well to try and help dad, even though I don't know.
Oh, this was brutal.
Properly. I was so like, I'm like, is he going to choke the kid?
He pushes the kid down. Yeah. And then
I was like, yo! And then he puts the dad down. I think the dad is dead as well at this point. The mother comes out. I'm like, you're just left alone with two bodies. Your son's neck is like this.
So, it's brutal. This is exactly the Vader I wanted to see.
Yes.
The Vader who, by the way, this isn't a backwater. These guys are at best indentured servants, right? They're basically slaves. They're not going anywhere. Mm. There's no cameras. He doesn't have to worry about his perception in the Empire or any of that stuff. If he even cared, which he probably doesn't, especially not now. Maybe he would care under normal circumstances, but not here, now, with Obi-Wan. And so these are all expendable.
Yep.
And the fact that he just starts snapping necks, that's exactly what...
Ragdolling people around. Right.
And that's also... you know I said when Yoda comes in to face Palpatine and there's those two red guards and he just got... That's sort of more like what I'm expecting Yoda does.
Yeah.
You're like, just... Their brains are goop, you know?
Yeah.
And then he starts, as he's walking, just like somebody just gets dragged, being like pulverized by the Force as they go screaming the whole way.
And at this point, Obi-Wan sends Leia with the woman and says, go, I'll be right behind you guys, don't worry. Tells the woman, it's like, make sure, promise me you get her to Alderaan. Promise me you get her to Alderaan. Yeah. They're like, oh shit, he's going to stay behind. No, don't do it,
Obi-Wan.
Don't do it.
No, we only have 3 episodes to square this circle. What are you doing?
If you die now, what's going to... How are you going to get to episode 4?
Right?
Anyway, and then Obi-Wan goes back to the door and he's looking and there's one point where he like gets
around. He goes out somehow.
He goes outside and he's near like a wreck or something.
Well, he can't
like
go out
that.
The back because there's a freaking mountain there because where else does this tunnel go?
Apparently there's a mountain somewhere there.
And it's quite cool because he goes and hides behind by some barrels.
Yeah.
And kind of looks like he's thinking about doing something. But he's smart enough to know he's well outgunned. And Vader senses it.
Vader like just does one quick look over to one side where he was, but he's not there now. However, it's not like he accidentally felt Kenobi.
He fully,
And so then that's that.
He just goes. It's also interesting that he told the rest of his lot, like the Inquisitors and stuff, don't interfere.
Yeah.
Which actually fits here. This isn't that common trope of like the baddie explains the plan just before they get defeated. Like this is freaking peak Sith Darth Vader. Like... I believe it for once, actually. And Reva is not about it because She has her own beef with Kenobi. She also wants to be there so she can get the credit.
Yes.
Fifth brother tells her not to do anything, and she's like, okay, I'm ignoring you, and walks off.
Yeah.
Which,
what she does here is just, like I said, so it's bad enough that she finds the location behind the wall, right?
Yeah.
But she beelines it straight to this hut.
Again.
And then goes into the hut, pulls the thing from the wall, goes up to the button, pushes it, and opens up the door, and it's like, how did you get here? How did you figure this out?
And then, from there, realizes it's a tunnel, clocks where it's going, goes to the end of it. Again, to be very clear, the actress herself, let's just skip to the end. While everything else is going on, Leia is running down the hall. She sends the officer lady back. She's like, go and save him.
Yeah.
Go and save Obi-Wan. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm just running to the end of this tunnel, meeting the contact. There's nothing to this.
Yeah.
Makes it all the way to the end of the tunnel and opens it up. And who's there?
Yeah.
Reva, this friendly face to take her away. Where's the pilot? He couldn't make it. Steps over the body and we see it. This scene of Reva, I freaking love.
That was ominous as fuck.
She's scary. She's sinister. She's this oppressively negative force.
Yeah.
It feels very much like as she approaches Leia, like the light dims.
Yeah.
Just like at the end of episode 2, where she's taunting Obi-Wan. She's brilliant. The actress is great.
Yeah.
The scenes that she's given are dog shit. I like those two clips of Reva.
Yeah.
A lot. A lot. If there's anyone that needs to be given flack on the internet, it is the dog shit writers that have given this clearly very talented actress horrible lines, horrible direction, and a horrible character arc.
And also, you're making her a focal character. At least give her a good goddamn arc. At least.
Right.
If you're going to make her focal, work on it a bit.
Also, one of the things that bugs me is they have her work so hard to like be cool with all this parkour stuff. And I felt that Reva's sort of strength was similar to where Vader is like this oppressive force just from his sheer power. I'll allow the weakness in the writing for Reva. She's obviously an incredibly formidable mind.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen Reva where it seems like we've established she's not the most powerful, be stalking people a bit more. Instead of like her chasing Kenobi, running as fast as she can, parkouring, she should have been like cutting them off.
Yeah.
And just appearing where she shouldn't have been. Why? Because she's planned out, where's the Jedi going to go? He's worried about this kid, not himself. He's going to try and get her off world. So I'm going to go here. That's where he's going to... Like, that would make Reva such a villainous force. And so much more intimidating. Especially because Kenobi right now isn't particularly powerful. For whatever reason, whether you like it or not, he isn't particularly open to the force. And he hasn't used a lightsaber in a while. So it's viable right now that a weaker Sith user could be this much of a threat.
Yeah.
If she's written properly. And the actress can definitely do taunting and sinister. Why didn't we do that? Why didn't we do that? It bugs me. Because in those two scenes, I freaking love this character. Yeah. I really want to see more of that Reva.
Hopefully we get to see more as time goes on. Hopefully.
Come back to the real focus. I see that spider there.
Yeah, I know
you love him. Why don't you just let him hang out with you, bro?
Go on. You can chill out there for a little bit.
Are you on the Patreon, bruv?
Hey, free content. Ah, it's coming down to me. I don't want to die. Okay. So, he leaves at that moment when Vader looks at him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get far.
He goes to, like, a quarry?
Yeah, he goes into a quarry. But what's really funny is that Vader lights up his lightsaber. And he takes out his lightsaber, doesn't light it, but then just goes, and runs away. And I'm like...
So, initially, when I saw that, I'm like... He's freaking drawing him into a trap.
I thought that as well.
I'm like, old school General Kenobi's back. Sick.
Springing the old traps.
I was like, this is so bizarre. No, in fairness, I don't mind him running away so much. This is peak Sith Vader. He obviously knows he's not in the same shape that Vader is in terms of...
Well, does he know anything about Vader?
He can probably feel it.
Probably feel he's quite fucking...
That's what I mean, there. Right?
I mean, he walked into the town and immediately went weak in the knees.
Right.
So, you know.
Exactly. So, I didn't mind it too much, but then he goes, well, like, you kind of have to do one or the other. And I don't mind either, but you can't do both.
Yeah. He ran away.
and then randomly pops his saber in the middle of nowhere.
But I guess he hears him, right? Or he senses him or something like that.
It sort of feels to me like he runs away to use the darkness to his advantage, right? Mm. And then gets creeped out that he's in the darkness and pulls out his nightlight.
And what's the worst thing about a lightsaber is it's so bright in the darkness I couldn't see anything else.
You'd be trying to look where to go and all you'd see is just.
It's like those, you're holding the light like that, but that's worse. I've got to hold it behind me.
Right.
It's not in my eyes. I don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's so bad. I did like it was really cool because it was obviously a real light that he was holding and it was an accurate shadow.
If you haven't seen, there are scenes, behind the scenes of them. It's pretty cool. Yeah. And also it makes it look so much more real because that light is there. It's not added in post. And you can tell.
Yeah.
If you can, especially if you compare real light to fake light, it's all in the right places, but it's just not. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very cool,
That was what I appreciated. That's why I kind of really liked Force Awakens when it first came out. I was like, oh my God. Because all the lightsabers were really done then. I was like, yes. Some of the added effects on top. But
of course, I also loved how it's the first time we've seen a lightsaber really in a while. And I loved how it was that bright blue Kenobi. Oh, so good.
Nice, isn't it? Anyway, he goes, Vader finds him again eventually.
Yeah, so like he's sort of freaking out. Like, I'm going to say he's like imagining Vader's behind him no matter which way he turns.
Yeah.
And then Vader is behind him. Lightsabers clash.
Exactly. And he says to him, he's like, what have you become? And Vader turns around, I am what you made me. And that's just pouring salt in the wounds. It's
so good.
I'm already beating myself up every day. But because of this,
it's also getting back to their original thing. Like, he blames Obi-Wan for turning Padme against him.
Yeah.
And the reason he turned away from the Jedi is because started to lose touch with Padme.
Yeah.
And because Padme turned against him, she died.
Yeah.
And because Obi-Wan didn't stand up for him and make him a Master Jedi, he was tempted away. And for all these things, I am what you made me. Basically, I am all of your flaws made manifest in your doom.
They have a little bit of a lightsaber duel. It's very weak.
It is very weak. Well, I love to see that a couple of things happen here. You said but. What were you going to say?
I was saying, but Vader is like obviously way stronger and he's waiting on him. And he's doing what we said as well with the new fight style, which is like one-handed brute force over the top.
Because
he does, there's one point as well where he holds him on top and he uses the force as well to push him out.
Yeah.
Similar to how they did in Revenge of the Sith.
It's the same move.
I was going to say, that was really cool.
In Revenge of the Sith, it cancels out.
Exactly.
But the thing that I loved about. Well, the thing that I took from this is one, I love to see. First of all, I enjoy Vader's brute force style, which fits really well because the robot arms are slower, but presumably stronger. And forget the physical strength because the force makes different things. Plus you're using a laser sword, but it was just cool to see. But there is a point where like Kenobi is getting like basically pushed back, and then that starts to slow. I don't know if you noticed it or felt it, but there comes a point where like each hit, while still strong, stops pushing him quite so much, and eventually he gets to a point where he like holds up his saber to stand against Vader. And that was very interesting initially for me, because I'm like, okay, well, maybe Obi-Wan's sort of like, I'd say toughen up and get over it, but toughening up and getting over it, right? Like, this is a situation I'm in, this has to be dealt with, right? I can feel sorry for myself afterwards, except that that isn't what happens. He gets pushed away because he gives up.
Yeah.
And then I did appreciate the petty cruel side to Vader, where he like pulls down these flammable rocks.
Yeah, pulls down these rocks, and then while he grabs Obi-Wan and holds him in the air, he lights them on fire with his lightsaber.
Yeah. And then he basically says, "You're gonna get to feel what I got to feel."
Yes.
And starts to sort of roast,
dragging him into the fire and roasting him. And something then, I forgot to mention the first time we heard Vader.
Yeah.
Did you notice that it's actually James Earl Jones?
So I assumed it was an impression because it was very good.
I thought we've heard that in. Was he in Rogue One as well? Or was it an impression?
I don't think
he
got any lines.
I th- There was a,
yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think James Earl Jones did any lines in Rogue One.
That's what I think as well. Yeah. And I was totally impressed by that impression.
Yeah, it
as
was
well.
Very good.
But this is actually James Earl Jones.
That's brilliant.
Fucking brilliant, right?
That is.
And I'm listening, and I'm like, oh my god, he, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's.
I remember. Oh. So I was listening, thinking they've done it all right. My real problem is here, where he like, it feels like they lost all the budget for the Force. So Obi-Wan is just sort of hanging there, looks to be like on a wire, and then he gets like pulled and pushed. It just looks very janky.
Yeah.
And then the officer lady arrives, shoots a stormtrooper, and then Kenobi gets away.
Yeah, this is an old one. So it's like he's dragging him through the fire, and then eventually he just decides
pushes
to stop.
Him away.
He stops and is like, okay, and tells stormtrooper, get him and let's take him away. And the officer lady that was an officer shoots the one stormtrooper and
then sets fire back to those rocks that went out.
But I was like, isn't he still in it? Whatever. Maybe he got pushed back a little bit. But then the loader,
which was nowhere before, arrives.
Comes.
And carries him away.
And Vader does nothing about it.
And that this small line of fire that can't possibly be walked around.
Right.
And people are going to say, but she's shooting. At Darth Vader?
Bruv, it's nothing, you know?
There's a reason I picked that comic book panel. These weapons don't affect Darth Vader. Let's say they can get through his, you know, mega armor, which I doubt that they can. Yeah. But let's pretend that they can. They can't get through his armor because his armor is the Force and he's Anakin Skywalker. He doesn't have to worry about anyone.
So Han Solo shoots him with a blaster and he just goes safe.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And this is Han's blaster is functionally the Dirty Harry 44 Magnum of this world, right? No other gun is this powerful. It could have been Chewie's bolt caster, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter. There are two ways to destroy the Death Star, by the way. I don't know if you were aware of this. One is a small womp rat sized hole that you can stick torpedoes down.
Yeah.
And the other is just make Darth Vader angry enough and he'll crumple it like a can. Right. Like so this I'm feeling unsure about.
Yeah.
Quite disappointed about, actually.
What was more disappointing to me is that it seemed like while the fire went on, all the other stormtroopers, you can hear them in the background, they're like, oh, they're shooting. Where's shooting from? Oh, the fire. Right. Get round them. We must get to a different position. Vader this whole time is dead looking at Obi-Wan being picked up by the loader.
Yeah.
Does nothing.
Doesn't force pull the loader to him. I'm like, Obi-Wan to him.
What are you waiting for? It's not like, it's not even like Obi-Wan's looking at you, or he just said something that affected you, or is about to do something that's going to affect you. He's almost unconscious on the floor, and the thing's being taken away. Why are you not doing anything?
Let's put this into sort of movie canon perspective. Luke Skywalker, while training to be a Jedi for all of like 4 weeks or less, can levitate an X-Wing out of a swamp. And into the air at an altitude at which it can then take off. This is fully trained, fully Sith-powered Vader, and he can't pull a loader. Now, a little bit of me is choosing to believe maybe he wants to get back to the chase, but I don't buy it.
It's a bit much.
He seemed to really like the idea of having Kenobi there and torturing him, which I believe is what Vader would want.
That's maybe what I was thinking, that... What was it? Was it earlier? When did I say about them both sort of being in shock?
Yeah.
I think maybe that's it, that they're both sort of still in shock. And I think after this encounter, I don't think I can accept anything after that.
I agree.
To be like, after that, we're fully raged on. But then that goes to my final point. It's like, how are they both going to survive then? If after this, they both go into full rage mode, then it's like, so you're both going to survive?
How? Yeah, it's not going to work very well. And at the end of this, unless there's going to be a season two, which I'm sure there probably will be because they can't leave off.
So we'll see.
One of two
limited,
things. Either I agree. I think this should have been a 6-episode like mini movie almost.
Yeah.
As like a what happened in between. There needs to be a very clean cut at the end for why Vader is no longer looking for Kenobi or how he gets away to the point that he's never found again.
Yeah.
Which gives us 2 episodes in between where they can potentially fight. This Kenobi isn't ready for a fight yet.
Yep.
And wouldn't be for at least another episode. So we have 1 episode where there could be a fight. I don't know, man.
What do we do?
I'm back to being a bit worried.
Yep.
I wasn't like I wasn't unworried before, but then again, Anakin.
Unworried.
The Anakin Vader stuff prior to it's the stuff in the quarry, that very end of the quarry, starting from the fire. That I really didn't like. Everything up until that point, that I really liked. I really liked everything from seeing him as Anakin in the robes to him like walking into the town, the way he just murders those people, especially that kid.
Yeah.
That's so brutal. Evil.
Yeah.
That's the Vader I want. I want that Vader from the end of Jedi Fallen Order. That's my Vader, right? I want that Vader from that comic panel I tweeted. I want Hayden to get to do justice to the role. I actually want to see a bit more of Hayden as opposed to Vader, if you see what I mean. I want to see maybe another flashback of Vader.
Yeah.
As Anakin.
I hope that we... I just want that Padme and Vader scene. The Padme grave.
So if you guys didn't hear the long podcast we did with Tyler, I think, and James.
I think so.
We were talking about Star Wars, and Tyler and I have both had... We both basically made two halves of the same movie. Basically a Vader propaganda piece. But at the end, Vader's like seeing these images of Padme. Let's say this. Anakin is seeing these images of Padme in his head. And he ends up going to her grave where they argue, and he pulls out his saber and stabs the image of Padme and kills her in his mind fully. And then it turns out it's actually Palpatine putting the stuff in his head to finally break that chain.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. And I'm so with you. And I really feel like Hayden could do it, and I would love to... The idea that we might get a Vader miniseries, I love it, but so far I'm not quite sold on Kenobi. Just because it's been let down in a few weird ways. Like this one end scene in the quarry with Vader, Reva's been let down so poorly, but then there's been so much good. All the other stuff with Hayden has been great. All the stuff with Kenobi's been great. The stuff with Leia... been so good.
They've nailed the presence, at least, with like Kenobi, Vader. Leia was unforeseen to be this good, to be like such a key character.
Right? And also, by extension, adult Leia and Padme, through this child.
Yeah, through this child, through these few episodes, have greatly improved those characters as well.
Yeah, retconned a new hope.
It's good. It's good stuff.
It's been...
And that is the end of the episode. Yeah. We do have that final Reva scene, which you mentioned before. And that's
which is actually really good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's the end of the episode. But that is not the end of this episode.
That's right.
Because we have comments to read from you guys, giving us your thoughts. Because this isn't just us watching. This is us watching it all together. And you get to tell us how you feel about this.
That's right.
Over on patreon.com/conversations, Corporal Dingleberry writes in. And he says, the episode... was kind of slow and not much happened.
Yes,
but man, I do not care. That ending 10 minutes is absolute peak Star Wars content, bro. I am what you made me.
Such a good line.
Has to be one of the best lines delivered in Star Wars in a long time.
Yeah.
And you're telling me we've got Hayden Christensen playing Darth Vader, voiced by James Earl Jones?
That's so good.
We're living in a great time now.
It's not bad.
It was too much, man. The rest of the show could be awful, and I'd still be 100% content with what we just gotten. And then he tries to Mustafar Obi-Wan as revenge. It's just so chilling. I really like that we can see Vader moving and fighting in a far less collected way.
Yeah.
Than we see in the original trilogy. He's very much fighting, moving, in an angry Anakin sort of way. And it's so fucking fun to see. Give me more of this and I'll be happy.
The thing is as well, like in Empire, Vader's not trying to kill Luke.
Yeah.
In this, he's trying to kill Obi-Wan. You know?
Yeah. Impressive. Most impressive. So I've got lines coming in my head now. Gam's True Gamer Master writes in and he says, part three. G'day, bros. I thought this episode was great. My thoughts on Leia have flipped, and I reckon she is great.
You didn't like her before? I forgot that.
Yeah, before he was like women, children, female characters.
Of course. All good points.
Exactly. I agreed with him, but you know, now he's flipped, so I can't agree.
Right.
He says, I didn't like her last episode because she kept hounding Obi-Wan about being a Jedi after he kept on telling her to stop, and that they were trying to keep a low profile. I always like seeing the boring stuff stormtroopers do. They're not just evil killing machines, but regular soldiers. Just nice to see.
Well, these ones are, because they're not clones anymore, right?
Exactly. Wait, they're conscripts. Not... Conscripts, yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't. Are they not clones in the original trilogy?
No, they're conscripts there as well. I think in the original trilogy, they're conscripts, but they don't say it necessarily. They just assume they're bad people, bad soldiers.
What happened to all the clone troopers?
That's a good question. I don't know what happened to them. Yeah. I've never been told. They might have said it in like Rebels or something like that.
Yeah, but that's not canon because it's animated. And everything animated is trash, as exactly. We well know.
We know, yeah. What are we doing? Where are we? Okay, they're just not evil. They're regular soldiers. Just nice to see. Obi-Wan's comments about how much he sees Leia's mother in her was very touching. I'm enjoying the relationship they have. I'm starting to like the third sister. She's ambitious and not unnecessarily brutal as she was in parts 1 and 2. Holy shit, Vader is terrifying.
Oh, so good.
Knowing that it's Vader in the suit with James Earl Jones' voice is absolutely incredible. Vader tearing through the town and killing people left and right just to lure Kenobi out of hiding was brutal, but in a good way.
So good.
So great. I love that he is toying with a carefully terrified Obi... Blah, 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 blah. Toying with a clearly terrified Obi-Wan,
yeah.
Just wanting him to feel the pain he feels. I don't know how I feel about Leia getting captured by the third sister, but I guess we'll have to see next week. Can't wait to see the real fight between Vader and Obi-Wan, but yeah. This was a nice teaser to that. Overall, this episode was amazing. Buckets were filled, bros.
Buckets. Buckets of buckets.
This is it. Buckets were filled, bros. Buckets were filled. That's what he says. Have a good one.
It definitely feels like this is a trilogy about Obi-Wan saving Leia, doesn't it?
It might be the whole point.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all. And it also really paints to why the name Ben Kenobi has stuck in her head so well, right? Mm. The In a New Hope. Ben Kenobi. Like, hells yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it at all. And it makes sense for the third sister to be going after this kid, despite not knowing that she's Anakin's kid, because it's worked before to get Kenobi. And yeah. This is the closest that they've ever got to getting him. He's the big get. He's the career-making catch. And obviously she has a beef with him. So, like, of course she's going to prioritize this kid. Why not? And also they need to get the kid. After this is all said and done... She needs to be returned to the Organas. That's a beehive she does not want to kick, because it's going to make too much trouble. Even if she's, you know, this spec ops Sith person,
yeah.
She's not going to want to kick up that much fuss with Palpatine and Vader and stuff, because at the end of the day, they do run a functioning government. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Kicking over to our Discord, yeah,
buddy. Our boy... And a titty in the other says, peak episode.
Click on this person's profile, right? The profile picture is some girl in a GIF form. Yeah. But have you seen the banner?
That's sick.
The banner is this episode.
That's sick.
Of Vader pulling Obi-Wan into the flames.
This makes Nitro...
Yeah.
Look worth it.
I was like, is this what you get from having Nitro? I really want that.
See... Up until the end of what's happening here, I'm in love with this episode.
Yeah.
Or everything Vader. And then it's just that end bit where, like, he just watches him go. Yeah. I just don't buy it. But that's a great gift, bro.
Yeah.
Dark Diogo Computer Lad says, oh my god, I can't believe that Mother's Milk got... You motherfucker.
Mother's Milk got turned into an actual milk and a drink by the revived Homelander. Oh my god!
I need to actually watch The Boys.
It hasn't started yet.
I thought it was out this week.
No, it's like the end of this week or something like okay. that. So it might be like Saturday or something.
It might
like
be
that.
Cool to maybe do a recap episode once Kenobi's over.
Yeah.
For The Boys, because it
half an hour episode, you know, I'd probably cover it, right?
We knew that Jensen Ackles would be in the show, but I wasn't expecting him to replace Starlight. Boys, nobody's that straight.
Nobody's that straight.
If Ackles is the love interest, I'm down.
Yep.
I'm so down. Let's be honest. I can believe Huey can pull Starlight. I don't believe he can pull Ackles.
Yeah.
Okay? Come on. Come on. Frickin' trolls. Isak Manny says, I have never been so tense while watching a show before. So far, Kenobi is an A-tier show, just like this flagship show of the FPN. Thank you.
We need like a emotion to be like for all of our people. Some sort of like thing that we all do when we're in like a group together, let's say.
Yeah.
Some sort of hand gesture, something that would get us all to be like we say like, Streamcast, and then we like
Streamcast,
and then we do like something.
The spots.
Yeah, like I don't know, some like
maybe
some sort of motion to be like, yes, we're all part of this group.
See, I was thinking, I genuinely thought you were
Hydra.
I thought you were gonna do something pirate related.
Oh yeah,
but it's so much work. I was gonna suggest one of the things I was gonna suggest early on once we did the flagship show.
Yeah.
Was take that first thing of Captain Jack Sparrow stepping off the ship that's sinking,
yeah,
and add the flag, but turn it to the Streamcast logo. But I don't see how it would work. Also, that's so much work for you.
That's a lot of work.
So much work.
Call of Juicy, yes,
says, do you want to take this one or shall I get it?
Go on, you do it.
Pretty great episode until the final confrontation. See, I don't mind the confrontation. I mind how it ends.
Yeah. He might say it, though.
Well, who cares about him? We have the mic. We're
solid
the talent.
Solid point. No one cares about what you say, Call of Juicy.
Unless you're agreeing with us.
Yeah. Oh, wait. He's a patron. Hold on.
Even fewer people care what he is. That final fight was pretty underwhelming, but I imagine there'll be another one since they did heavily hype up Vader and Obi-Wan's confrontation. Up until that fight, I loved it. That could have been enough for me. I would have been happy, personally. The rest of the episode was great, and the mention of Quinlan was a nice touch.
That's that Jedi's name, right?
Yeah.
But who is Quinlan?
We don't, yeah. I'm interested in seeing
you
if they do.
You guys should assume we're idiots and you should tell us who Quinlan is.
Yeah, come on.
But the mention of Quinlan, for those of you guys that don't know because you're morons, blah, 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 he's the head Jedi. Blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly.
That's Mace Windu before Mace Windu.
Yeah, or he was a big role in Rebels or something. Like, yeah. Okay, cool. I'm interested in seeing if they do anything with him or if it's just a little Easter egg kind of thing. Leia was even better this episode. I like how episode 2 showed off her sass, but this one put more of an emphasis on her leadership abilities, wanting to take lead when speaking to the stormtroopers. Frick Star Wars character of all time. What?
I just want to say...
Frick, best Star Wars character of all time. Oh, Babu
the
Frick.
The guy. No, not Babu Frick. I think the rat guy's name was Frick.
Oh, yeah, that little rat fucker.
I just want to apologize. I've been yawning a little bit in this episode. Isla did not want to sleep last night, and she slept in the bed with us. And all she wanted to do was rub my face. So I couldn't sleep. But it was cute, because she was just like...
Man, that sounds so rough. How are you doing not sleeping the whole night without sleep?
The whole night, man.
It's crazy.
Well, it wasn't the whole night. It was 2 hours. But, you know,
man, 2 hours and then back to sleep. I know you have a difficulty getting back to sleep as well. This is canonically well-known within the community. How difficult... You so find bad. Getting off to sleep.
So bad, man. I had to, like, close my eyes.
It's rough.
And, I was like,
and then you were asleep. That sounds rough, man. Tough.
The hoops I have to jump
through. I think I speak for the whole community and the Four Pillars and the FPN when we all say thank you for your courage and bravery.
Putting on a brave face for the community and for
making
everyone.
It to this episode. Yeah,
I'm supposed to... Post a job for insomnia. Didn't get two hours of sleep last night. Oh God, how does he make it through the day?
Right. He's so brave.
BS bro, because he just chats BS.
It's true, they all do.
Holy shit, that intro and Leia talking to Obi-Wan about the Force was so perfect.
It was very sweet, and I can't believe I nearly skipped it. I was like, oh, we can just land. Come on. That was great as well, especially because you mentioned it. It was great symmetry where he says, like, how do you feel when you walk into a dark room, you turn on the light, and then when Anakin or Vader arrives, the light goes out.
Honestly, you know? It's like he just went like...
Yeah. It was
where
brilliant.
Am I completely
sorry. It was so good.
And that Vader soundtrack, Obi-Wan not trusting anyone, seeing Anakin, it's beautiful, and I'm constantly freaking out. I love this. Lying about Vader saying you're in charge is probably the easiest way to get yourself killed.
I mean, for the record, I was thinking that same thing, but I don't think she actually said I'm in charge. She says Vader told me to get this done.
Yeah.
And lets them assume that means she's in charge, right?
Yeah.
I feel I might need to rewatch. I will obviously rewatch the show, but I feel like she's very calculated with the way she presents it. She says, I just spoke to Vader and he said to scan this thing.
And she did just make a huge mistake pretending that she could pull the wool over Darth Vader's eyes.
Right.
The way Obi-Wan slaughtered the Grand Inquisitor.
The way he just cuts off. It's like, no one cares. Lol, shut up.
And there he goes in quotation marks. Sometimes when I look at Luma, I see her mother's face.
Oh, I love that scene so much. Too.
Definitely getting the vibes of Grand Inquisitor being in a back to tank, and Vera Reva is the only one that doesn't know.
It could well be that, isn't it?
Sheps sucks ass.
I mean, true, but why are we bringing it up here?
It's just it's one of them casual facts you just have to start. Just
right, yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit, Quinlan name drop.
I know, we were both super hyped to see Quinlan getting some much needed love because of, you know, the last... Quinlan hasn't had enough love, and it's well deserved because of what we know Quinlan from
has done this
previous to this show,
experiences and the stories,
and uses the Force, a Jedi. Not all of them were Jedi, but Quinlan is and knows how to. Quinlan knows the way to the path.
He knows the way. Yeah, the way of the path and the
is
Force
is to not look close where you're going,
but then reveal them the path.
Big fans of Quinlan over here.
I think we covered everything right there.
We got it all.
He goes, you non-Clone Wars watchers don't know who that is. Shame on you fake
imagine
fans.
Imagine not knowing Quinlan. You'd feel so stupid.
He's talking to you guys, by the way.
You
not
must feel so embarrassed
such a
to
loser.
Not get this reference.
Point a laugh at him.
Everybody point a laugh at the people that don't know Quinlan. Because, look, it's obviously a huge name drop for Obi-Wan. He says Quinlan was here. He goes, wait, Quinlan was here? That, if you didn't know, shows how big of a deal Quinlan is to Obi-Wan. They have this
relationship. Bond.
That's it.
The Force can't even break it. The stormtroopers yelling in advance where there's a giant fire in front of them. What? There's a giant fire in front of them.
This is the bit that doesn't make a huge amount of sense, because this fire is a barrier, right?
Yeah.
And specifically, it's used by Vader to pull Kenobi through it.
Yeah.
Because it's a barrier of pain and fire and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the stormtrooper's like, advance! But he's been pushed away from the fire, and they're going to go through it.
But also, the fire doesn't, like, it's not a line around the planet. It's just in front of
it's
you.
It's like 20 feet from Vader, 20 feet either side.
Cool. You guys go that way, I'll go this way.
Also, you think Vader could just, like, push the flammable rocks away and make a path, maybe.
And Vader was looking at him being taken away anyway, so this whole thing is pointless.
Oh, no, he's all 40 feet away and moving at less than walking pace thanks to this droid. How will we ever get around him? One of you 40 stormtroopers. Sorry, Lord Vader. One person is shooting at us.
You know, I'm a fan of Family Guy. There was a Star Wars version of it, and they did this one thing from the original trilogy where they were like, Han's being chased by the Empire, and he's like, don't worry, I know a few moves, which is something he says in the actual original trilogy. But in the movie, all that happens in the next shot is that...
they bank left.
Just slightly to the left, and it just goes like that.
That mighty left bank.
And it's like, Man, you just listed lazily to the left. It's like,
I know, I get them every time.
Every time it works 100% of the time.
It's so, I love, is it something Dark Side where they end up in that moon slug's mouth and he's like, hold on a minute. Psh,
yeah.
Something's not right. Psh, wait a second. Psh. Oh, wait, now I get it.
Okay. I love how we've gotten to the point where it's a video game logic. If there's an object in front of you, you can't go around it like fire or maybe, lasers or security checkpoint.
Hear me out. Maybe Anakin or Vader, in all of this excitement, forgot how to pull things with the Force. That's maybe why he pushes him away, right? He can do one or the other, he got locked into push.
Forgot.
Easily done.
Unlock a few more meditation points, and they can unlock it in his skill tree.
Right. At least it's a pity that he couldn't, like, you know, jump over the. Jumping extreme heights is not a thing Jedi can do. Anyway, Cryptic says, hashtag the boys season 3 streamcast, hashtag Morbius sweep, hashtag still mid, hashtag Zack Snyder's Justice League sucks.
What he meant was Shep's ass sucks. That's
let me. Ban this mother freaking.
Ban him! Get him out of here! I can see you typing.
Cryptic, God, make sure I ban the right guy.
Ban everyone. Just delete the server. Delete the server. We don't need it.
We should. Banned.
Get fucked! Do you want me to read Mario?
Mario 5380 says, I don't know anything about Star Wars. I'm not a real fan like you boys. I wish you would educate me a bit more. I mean, okay, we can do that, Mario. And he goes, okay, let's do this. I really like this episode, but I got confused near the end and initially conflicted. Loved the main part of the episode. The Vader suit was incredible. Wasn't expecting to see Mustafar again, and with it, Vader's castle, which is like one of the best bits. Anything Vader was the only good stuff in Rogue One. As soon as we heard James Earl Jones again as the voice of Darth Vader, let me tell you, buckets.
Buckets. That's become our thing. What we need to do, we need to make a t-shirt. It's just a bucket filled with a white substance.
Yeah.
That's the t-shirt.
It should be like a bucket with just some white stuff dripping off the side, you know?
And then everyone buys it. It's like, I would like jizz on
it. It should be like a couple of them with, like, you know, you can see liquid in it, and one spilled with like a white, you know, like a spill, you know. Well, let's mock that up. I would wear that.
Hey,
buckets. I do think that the scene with the throne looked a little fan film like. Moving on, young Leia. I mean, I didn't care about the throne.
It seemed a bit too grand for our Darth Vader for some reason.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Young Leia once again is such a highlight, especially during the hitchhike. Once again, more Padme representation at its finest. I totally agree. Absolutely loved the conversation Leia had with Obi-Wan about her real parents. You can truly see how much Obi-Wan missed both Padme and Anakin. Speaking of which, right before that, we got to see Hayden Christensen back as Anakin Skywalker. I freaking love that so much.
It's good.
All he had to do was turn and I was buckets. Those visions haunting Kenobi is genuinely so sick, and I like that it really started to kick in once Obi-Wan realized he's still alive. Love that we're getting more gruesome with the stormtrooper being cut in half. Yeah, same. And you guessed it, Vader's entrance. I was not expecting him to fuck so hard when he arrived. Choking a father to his death and snapping the neck of his son in an instant, trying to lure Kenobi out. He keeps on dragging another woman over the ground. It's so sick. And what a villain, right? We need this villain.
I mean, before, he didn't really do anything necessarily evil. Yeah, he killed some kids.
Also, he choked out, in the original trilogy, all he does is choke out a couple of douchebag officers. Who cares?
We needed to see him do something actually,
right,
actually bad.
Like, he's killing people here, not children. People.
Exactly. I'm a father. What the fuck?
Oh, God. So now here's the part where I get confused and a bit conflicted. Vader chases Kenobi, but Kenobi tries to avoid it and runs away. Vader just sort of stands there wondering what the frick is going on. This sort of happens twice, and it was a bit weird. I do have to say, that upon a rewatch, it's not that bad. I don't really have an issue with it anymore, just giving you my initial reaction. The fire scene was so cool. Vader giving Obi-Wan a taste of his own medicine by dragging him into the flames with the Force and saying his torment has just begun. Yeah, but then he gives up and pushes him away. Why does he push him away? However, Vader puts out the flames with the Force, tells his forces to get Kenobi, but then the fire gets lit up again, and instead of walking around it or going through it, because his suit is able to withstand fire, exactly that's why he's on Mustafar, he's just putting it out again. Or just putting it out again with the Force, like he did 5 seconds ago. It just gives us one of the harder shots. It does give us one of the harder shots in the episode of Vader standing there in front of the fire, but he just decides to let Kenobi go. After he searched for him... Oh, yeah, it just lets him go after he searched for him for 10 years. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I found it a bit weird, and it really soured the episode for me on my first watch. I hope they'll address it, and it has a genuine reason instead of the fire being the only thing between Vader and Kenobi. Yeah, it's not seeing what we mean to share. Yeah. Obi-Wan needs to heal up, so now would be the perfect moment for some live-action Clone Wars flashbacks. How about not?
No, not really. I don't think that's necessary. No one, not really cared.
In the end, I liked the episode, but was left confused. I wonder what happens next. Also, there seems to be some sort of issue with you guys' email, I think. I still haven't gotten an invite to be on the podcast. Maybe you should check that out. Anyway, without jokes, sorry for making this long. I love Star Wars. I love these podcasts, and I love you guys. I also hate you guys, but you know how it is. I didn't even know you liked Star Wars. I never saw you playing Battlefront or anything. This is actually the first time I've ever heard you reference.
It is very strange. Star Wars. I didn't think he was much of a Star Wars
fan.
You think
for such a big fan, it would be part of his brand.
Maybe he's only seen the sequels. Maybe he's just a recent fan.
Right. I recently came to the series and getting to see Vader, who Kylo's always talking about in action, is cool. Right.
He was like, Rogue One, this seems really cool. I don't understand where it goes and what this character is. And then they were like, and then he was like, I'm going to watch Solo. I don't know what this is a prequel to. Apparently it's a prequel. I don't get it.
I'm only going to watch anything made before 2000.
So Daniel Glover's in it. Okay, I'll watch it.
Right.
There we go.
It hurts me.
Batfan257 writes in, he says, I really enjoyed this episode. Love how Vader was more like a horror type villain, showcasing how scary he can be. The Vader versus Obi-Wan fight felt a bit underwhelming, but I feel like the final episode won't disappoint on the second fight. My favorite part of the episode has to be when Morbius appears at the end and saves Obi-Wan while screaming, it's Morbin time!
That would actually have made more sense than what happened. That isn't there.
It does.
It definitely doesn't say that.
You need to refresh.
It actually would have made more sense for Morbius to turn up and say, it's Morbin time! And to save Kenobi. Reese Not Reese says, I'm loving the focus on Obi-Wan and Leia, and the way she's acting as a positive contrast to Obi-Wan's somber character. Feel-good moments are very feel-good.
That's what Eddie approval.
The chase scene was a bit weird, but I think a part of it is because I know Vader can't run, so I find him just walking after his prey really comical. Yeah, because of the speed difference and it being basically a straight line, this doesn't really make sense. Yeah. If he was stalking him around a building or in a ship where he can't get out, it would be a bit better, I think. I like to imagine the characters are thinking, the fuck? You were literally 20 feet behind me. How did you get in front? Yeah, for Reaver as well.
Yeah. It's a Sith thing.
Right. It's like an anti-Batman thing.
Exactly.
I love the lightsaber duel. I felt it really channeled those original trilogy vibes with the slow, almost sluggish swinging instead of the flashy acrobatics we saw in the prequels. Would love to see something similar to those at some point, though. I'd like to see a mix, right? I feel like the prequel stuff was a bit slow. Even in Empire, it's a hair slow.
Prequels or...
Sorry, I meant original trilogy. Meant in Empire, you know, where he's fighting Luke. Even that's a little sluggish. Yeah. This felt like... Vader felt like he was at the right speed. We just need Obi-Wan to be Obi-Wan.
I heard that George Lucas was telling them to act as if they're like long sword, like knight swords and whatnot, which are like two-handed, very like...
Also, those original things were quite heavy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't mind it, I'm just saying.
Yeah. BS Bro 1 writes in and he says, this week on stuff... Is that the one I'm reading? Yeah. This week on stuff I'm watching instead of Kenobi, it's The Orville with its season 3 premiere. P.S. Honestly, I'm surprised that Eddie and Sheps didn't choose the show that would let them talk a lot about sex. But I guess we have Conversations podcast for that.
Yeah, we save it for the Converse podcast.
Available now at Patreon. And don't forget to like the video. Sheps would have forgotten it for the if it was not for this comment.
We didn't say that in the sort of speech.
We didn't say it at all. Damn it, he knows you.
He does.
And Shep sucks ass.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not in there. It's not my copy of the notes here. Know. It's weird. Ben. PS5 emote. Says, good episode. But man, those last 20 minutes, insane. Once again, Joss Whedon is the... is the GOAT. Affleck's performance is just... Wow, he truly gave it his all. Every scene is just perfection. Interesting to see how they bring Superman back to life. I'm going to be honest, I don't remember much of this film. Oh, and the Morbius reference was biblical, man. Incredible. You know, Ben, I know you're trolling me because no one thinks Joss Whedon is the GOAT.
Ben put a picture up on Twitter.
Yep.
He was saying something about how something's so great, and he said, I rest my case. And it was a picture of his briefcase in bed.
This freaking guy.
That's so funny.
This freaking guy.
Yep. And final comment, BS Bro 2 said, it was replying to Reese, not Reese. He's saying, he can run, though. He just doesn't most of the time because of his heavy armor. But he can use force speed, like we see in the old Battlefront game, and we can see him sprint in the new one, which is canon.
Yeah, he can, he just doesn't, generally.
I guess he uses force to like move fast.
Would also assume it's pretty uncomfortable because his robo limbs are attached to flesh, right? So I would think that sprinting, especially being as heavy as he is with those arms and the armor, is probably fairly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But he can use it's canon, Jedi are faster, they can use the force to make themselves faster, to jump higher, and you know? Which is one of those things people say, like, oh, why do both Anakin and Obi-Wan just jump out of speeders in the prequels in episode 2? Because they can survive falling from orbit.
Yeah.
Terminal velocity is not a big deal to Jedi, at least if strong ones.
Yeah.
If they just drop, they'll just land.
Yeah.
They're okay. So, you know. I'm sure Vader can. Also, one of the things I loved and I wish was a bit more canon is Vader, instead of like force jumping, more floating like he does in the game, where he's like using the force to push himself up to heights.
Yeah.
That I really appreciate.
That was cool.
Yeah.
All right. That is the end of the episode, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us for another episode of Streamcast. We'll see you guys next week for episode 4.
We will.
And bro, I'll catch you in the next one as well. Try not to run into any traps with Vader or anything like that on the way.
Yeah, or any quarries.
Exactly. And just to let you know, I did ask for people in the comment to let me know how much Shep sucks, and that's why they were saying Shep sucks ass. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, I never read anything you post, so that now explains that. Anyway, boys, the flagship show of the FPM will be back next week with episode... Four. With episode 4 of Kenobi. Is 4 in it? With episode 4 of Kenobi. Next week, boys. See you then.